Touching eulogies and heart-wrenching images. We've all been glued to the media's wall-to-wall coverage of former President George H.W. Bush's farewell ceremony. So, what's wrong with the picture? Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all actually travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or a built-in front pocket, and they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. Away has the perfect gift for everyone on your list, because this holiday season, everyone wants to get away. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. So, you know, a lot of the coverage, and I watched quite a bit, not sitting in front of a television set, oftentimes, you know, online, on my mobile device. And
who shook hands with who? Who touched
that's
who?
Right.
Who
that's
ignored
right.
who?
And yes.
And it was pretty, I got to tell you, it was a little uncomfortable even to watch
it
the body language of the row
yes.
of presidents.
And boy, we could get into just how that's been covered. And I think, you know, rightly so, people on the right argue that the liberal media, the way they covered this was juxtaposing the past president with the current, or past presidents with the current. And you hear a lot of things like presidential.
Non-presidential.
Exactly. And so there's a lot of that. And so those on the right have been complaining, hey, see, you know, there's this, even at a memorial service, there is this effort to push down the current president, to make him look bad, even if he's just sitting there.
Well, it's not difficult. I'm sorry. I mean, he's a target. He's a target because he's created his own world.
And we could do a whole show on that.
We usually do, actually, Dan.
Everything from Jimmy's mouth has something to do with that.
That's against that, yes.
Right. But what I do want to talk about is the narrative around the former president. And again, this is someone I respect greatly. As you probably saw on my Facebook feed, I pointed out how he was someone who kind of really inspired me to cover national political leaders, because when I was back in college, I had the opportunity to attend a reception for then Vice President Bush. He was traveling in Chattanooga, and I wanted to interview him for my radio program on the college campus radio station. Actually, went across Chattanooga, and I was trying to push myself through to get up there and not only ask him a question, but also get a picture with him.
You were being aggressive.
It was the early days of Dan Lothian
right.
being aggressive.
That's right.
The Secret Service stopped me from moving forward.
I bet they did.
They did. Wasn't the last time that they would do that, but that was the first time.
Right.
And there wasn't a big commotion or anything like that, but at some point he turns around and sees something's going on, and he says, "What's going on?" And I don't know if there's exact words, but basically he was inquiring what was happening.
Yeah, is everything all right over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I said, well, I just, you know, I'm Dan Lothian, and I'd love to just, you know, take a picture with you and ask you a question, and they won't let me.
Did you identify yourself as a college reporter?
I don't know.
Okay.
What stands out in my mind is I wanted to take a picture with him, I think, is
right.
what it was.
Okay. So you were selfish, basically, Dan.
It was, you know,
it had nothing to do with bringing something back to your audience. It was about you.
Probably at the time it was.
God,
no, it was
that's
also
a lot
about.
Of
it was about.
You were a rebel in college. I know you have. That's why I pointed
no,
it
I
out.
No, I was finally. It was the first time that I'd met a national figure, right? So mm-hmm. I wanted to go up and say hi and take a picture and ask him a quick question and something I could talk about on my little radio show, right? And so anyway, he sees this thing and he bites me up. He says, "Oh, let him through," kind of thing.
Nice.
And so he did, and we snuggled together. I mean,
nice.
And the picture has been in my office, every office I've had. It's in the same old frame that I put it in. And not only that, but he signed the program, which over the years it's starting to fade because sunlight is fading the signature. But
weren't you a member of the liberal media at the time?
At the time, I don't know that they called it that.
Yeah, I know.
So, no, I was not a member. I was not a card-carrying member of the liberal media.
Gotcha.
But what it did show me, and I guess I respected it and certainly motivated me to do more of that kind of thing, and ultimately went on to cover presidents and vice presidents and others.
Right.
As I was listening to a lot of the coverage out there, I was encouraged by similar stories of people talking about how he remembered the little guy. if you will, or how he never traveled on Thanksgiving, often would not travel on Thanksgiving or on Christmas while he was president or vice president, because he wanted to make sure that the throngs of Secret Service agents who would have to accompany him if he were on the road could be home with their families.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a human trait.
Yeah, right. I remember when the president was human. Sorry.
Right. See, it always comes back.
It always does.
But I guess the reason, so that's something, and we've heard those stories, and I think that's wonderful. But here's the point that others have raised, and I've been thinking about as well. At the time when he was president, he was criticized heavily by the liberal media. People would say things like he's soft. They would, you know, they hit him big time on what basically, I guess you could say, got him ended up costing him a second term, which is he made this promise of not raising taxes. That famous quote, "Read my lips, no new taxes," and right. Then eventually he won and. He ended up having to raise taxes, mm-hmm. and many believe that cost him a second term. There were a lot of things that were said by the magazines and by the newspapers and by the networks, and it seems as if those same people who were saying those things back then, all these years later, have a much different tune.
Well, come on. Now, and you're right, Dan, and that's what the premise of this article is, and I see that George Will called him a lapdog.
Right.
And
he's back then. Right.
Back then. And
by the way, this is in Town Hall, which is a conservative publication. Larry Elder, a conservative talk show host on radio, just wanted to set that. He was the one who wrote this piece,
up.
Which
right.
we were referring to.
Right. And they're talking about him being, in 97, a Newsweek writer termed him as a wimp.
Right.
Now, look, I don't like names. You know that.
Well,
I like to call you Jimmy. Jimmy is a good, that
okay.
happens
and,
to be my name.
And you like Reverend Jimmy.
I don't mind Reverend Jimmy because
Young.
That's a sign of respect as well. I have respect for that. Mm-hmm. And this president served not just as a president, but also as a vice president.
Right.
For
and
eight
was
years.
In the military and, I mean, doing stuff that, well, I've never
and
done.
And he was a pretty darn good baseball player, too. Not that it has anything right. to do with sports or anything like that, but he definitely was a baseball guy. Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe recently did a great article about that. That being said, he's now passed on, Dan. I think after time, I'm surprised hearing from you that this was written by a right-wing talk show host.
Well, I think what he was trying to say is that when you hear current criticism from the left media, remember that they too can change their tune at some point down the road. So why should you believe anything that they're saying? I think that's what he's saying, because you look at what reporters were saying, and they point out specifically things like Andrea Mitchell and others
right.
who Thomas from Newsweek.
Yep, don't die on me. Because they did also call him a racist too. There was
they
some
called
racial
him right,
things,
and
you know?
I'm not saying Andrew Mitchell called him that, but that there were, they talked about this whole issue of breaking his pledge of no new taxes. Then he was criticized for it, you know, obviously when he didn't win a second term, and now everyone, as they look back on history, are saying, you know, that was a moment of courage. So the same people who were criticizing that as a horrible. A bad political move that he made. Now they're looking back at it and saying that was a matter of courage. Is it just passage of time that causes people to change their tune, or is this everyone kind of getting on the bandwagon, saying great things about someone who has passed away?
I think it's that. I think that you have to show respect for the office and the man that was in the office, whether you agree with him politically or not. And by the way, me being the left-wing radical liberal that I am,
yes.
I never voted for Reagan or for Bush.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
And that being said, nobody should be surprised.
I was not surprised at all. In fact, I would have been surprised had you told me you did vote for him.
I voted for John Anderson once. Yes. I mean, at some point. But anyway, point being, when someone passes, this is, you know what? And I am going to bring up the person in the White House today.
Well, you have already brought him up.
I know. I'm going to bring him
You're
up
You're acting
again.
As if this would be the first
because
time.
Because one of the biggest complaints about that guy now
yes.
is he's not presidential.
Right.
He does not carry himself in a respectful manner. He speaks before he thinks, for sure,
right.
and uses Twitter to espouse his opinions and what have you. Whereas HW always had class. He always commanded respect. He, if you look at his credentials as far as how he served the public both as a military man and as a servant in public office and as a president or in politics. He was respected.
Right.
When he passes away, this is not the time to go back. Hey, do you remember the time when he did such and such and he was racist? Oh, wait, don't forget about the time he did this.
I'm not saying that that should be the case. But right. for example.
But why point out the fact that that was even done and then blame it on the media for being hypocritical? Well, how about being respectful?
Well, here's what I would have done. Let's say when I did interview him, there was some breaking news that he gave me back in the 80s. Right. Let's say his exclusive at the time ended up being it wasn't exclusive, but let's say I got an exclusive at the time and it turned into this controversial thing that he said something and it was quite negative about him. Right. And then all these years later, I'm reflecting on him in a much kinder, gentler way. Right. Maybe I said back then that he was, played into the whole wimp thing that was part of the conversation at the time. You know what I would say? If I'm reporting on him now, I would say, you know what? Back in the 80s, I said things about him that in retrospect were wrong or at the time were part of the conversation and seem right. But now when we see the entire book, it was wrong. And that's what I think that's more what maybe some people are saying, maybe not this particular article. But certainly what I'm thinking is if you're going to get up there and have a complete love fest for someone as a former president, and rightly so, as a the leader of this free country and world, and someone who, as you were pointing out, Jimmy, we look fondly back on now,
right?
Given the current circumstances, yes. How he was able to reach across the aisle. It wasn't that he got along with Democrats and so forth. It was just that he didn't demonize them.
Right.
I think others have said that as well. Yeah. So it's not unique to me. But
okay. But
I would say this, that if I'm going to be talking about him in more than just breaking news coverage of here's what's happening at his service and so forth, and you are reflecting on his past, then I think it needs to be a more complete picture that you're giving. You can't just get up there and ignore some of the things that you said about him in the past. You have to point out that, you know what, a lot of people got it wrong, or maybe at the time it was right, but looking back on it, it wasn't. There are a lot of things you can say, and that's where you can gain trust from the public, when you admit that, you know what, maybe you were wrong. But now you're trying to correct that.
I want to talk about the words you're using to describe your reporting.
Yes.
You use the words right and wrong.
Right.
Isn't it more, I'm going to use the word accurate and inaccurate. At the time, reporting on what you reported on and the words you used, it was an accurate report.
It was an accurate report.
History has taught us, perhaps, or in time we have learned, of an inaccuracy, but at the time, you were doing your job.
Yeah, look, and I think that's a great way of pointing it out, Jimmy, because it isn't that it is inaccurate at the time that we were doing it. And some of it may have been. Some of it may have been just sort of partisan thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. When you look at something, if you give it a little time, then you reflect on it, you say, okay, yeah, the circumstances now give us different glasses to look at this, and this is how we would report that now.
Right.
And you're right. But I do think that if you're going to stand up there and talk about how great he is, and I know when someone passes away, that really is what you should be focusing on.
You can always tell funny stories about
it.
George W. did a great job with his eulogy.
He did a very good job, yes.
And in my opinion, shockingly so, but he spoke as a son who would talk about his father as opposed to him playing the role as president.
Right. No, it was powerful. A lot of what he said was powerful. But I think it's a good – it was a good example for us to sort of – apply a little bit of self-criticism. If you were very outspoken, and that's not to say that everybody was that you can point the finger at, but if someone really was known as being the anti-voice, if you will, of the former president, and now that person is sort of flowing with nothing but praise and rainbows and so forth.
It's a basic common courtesy.
I know respect is fine, but I think if you did something like that, you need to clean it up. You know, it's almost like clean yourself up before you start. Not you, Jimmy.
Oh,
don't be sad. I'm not saying you have. I'm just saying I'm speaking about if you were the person who was very vocal
George
in
Will.
Criticizing.
George Will. Let's call him out.
If you were very outspoken against the president in the past about a host of things, whether it's his proclamation of no new taxes or whether it's this whole notion of him, you know, the wimp factor and so forth. If you said it then now as he moves on to or has moved on, you need to correct that. I think you do. It's not a big, you don't have to make a big deal about it. You just need to do that one line, you know.
I think it would help each person individually who's been a reporter and has been in the trenches who covered that time. If that makes them feel better about themselves.
Then yes.
Then do it.
Well, it would make me feel better about them as well.
Right. But. Well, again, the point is, he's no longer with us. He served his country well. Let's salute him. By the way, great moment, Bob Dole, getting up out of his wheelchair.
But it was sad, too.
Oh,
that was
God.
Probably that one of the most powerful
Woo!
Visuals. There was that, and then there was the dog that was
at his casket, service dog.
Ugh, you know, it's amazing how one picture or one moment, one piece of video, the power that it can. I watched the Bob Dole thing over and over and over, and there's a statesman. I mean, there's someone who wasn't going to, he can't stand on his own, but he got help to stand up and barely could get his hand up to be able to salute him, but it was powerful.
Mm.
I watched it many, many times.
It was definitely one of those moments, and you said it's a moment in time, a photo can say 1,000 words.
It said a lot.
Okay, so now, just in case any of my students are watching this, okay, the final on Monday, I have another photo that I'm using where they have to describe and use 1,000 words to describe it. I'm just saying.
Oh, nice little exercise.
It's a nice little exercise.
Yeah.
By the way, we've done it a few times. I think they actually understand it now.
Right.
I wasn't sure a few more times on the quizzes. I was like, what are you guys doing?
What if it's 999 words?
They get a lot of credit for that.
Oh, okay. But not all credit.
No.
You have 1,000.
And the image I'm using is the migrant workers at the wall. It's pretty powerful.
Okay. Oh, great stuff.
Thought I'd just interject that.
No, very.
Not that they're going to be listening to this. Although, of course, if they are, they get
extra
a little
credit.
Edge. They get some extra credit. They get a little edge going
That's
into that
right.
final.
And if you're listening to it, you can get extra credit, too. Like this episode on Facebook, use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. And if you have any questions or comments, reach out to us at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.